And now, Old Hills Radio is proud to present the master of mystery, the world-famous Nordic detective, Sven Marlowe, and the case of The Pioneer's Dream.
Secrets. If it's one thing I'm constantly asked to discover, it is secrets. It may be a distressed wife wanting to uncover the identity of her husband's lover, or it may be the meaning behind the strange lights and sounds heard in the local hotel, but it's always about secrets. Today, I became my own client when I discovered a secret box in the back of the secretary's desk that had once belonged to my great-great-grandfather, Torvald Marlowe. I spent most of the night working on my taxes. My method of filing consists of tossing receipts and expenses into the bottom desk drawer so I can locate them later, which I did tonight. After spending 10 minutes trying to get the desk drawer closed, I pulled it out and discovered a small flat box stuck in the back. I removed the box and replaced the drawer. Inside the box, I found several receipts, a photograph, and a diary. The receipts were old and faded. I could barely make them out. But I could read a signature, Marlowe. The photo showed a young couple with a baby. On the back was written the year 1871. The diary was written in Norwegian, so I couldn't read it, but I could read the name Marlowe written on the first page. I heard people moving about downstairs at the Lefse Emporium and decided to get something warm in my stomach to help me sleep.
Dragged in. Marlowe, you look worse than a worn-out mule.
Come on over and join us, Sven.
Hi, Gerda, Undersheriff.
Elise, bring another cup of coffee over here for Sven.
Don't bother, Elise. I'll take a cup of warm milk.
Warm milk? What has gotten into our local sleuth that requires a glass of warm milk, dare I ask?
Yes, Sven. Why the long face? You've got bags under your eyes the size of melons.
Thanks, you two. Truth is, I haven't slept all night. You see, I was working on my taxes last night, and I found this box hidden in the back of Granddad's old desk.
That thing looks old, Marlowe, like one of those old Norwegian miniature boxes.
What did you find inside, Sven?
Well, check it out, Gerda. A bunch of old receipts. See the name right here, Marlowe.
So, you found a bunch of old, worthless pieces of paper. So what?
Look at some of the dates on these, Undersheriff. 1877, 1876. Here's one dated 1871.
Yeah, that's the earliest one I could find. I also found this old photo. You can barely see the image anymore, but I think they're the first Marlowes to settle here in Norsetown.
Well, what do you know? I recognize your beady little eyes in that man, Marlowe. Even back then, the Marlowes looked like they were up to no good.
Who's the baby, Sven?
Well, that would be my great-great-grandfather, Torvald Marlowe.
Here's your warm milk, Sven. Now, who is that lovely family?
Marlowe here thinks it's his pioneer ancestors.
Pioneer ancestors? Oh, Sven, did I ever tell you that my great-great-grandmother Ellie, my namesake, was the town's first veterinarian?
No, Elise, I guess you haven't. Hey, say, you can read Norwegian, right?
Oh, why, sure, Sven. What have you found?
In the box with the photo and receipts, I also found an old journal. Would you mind seeing if you can read it?
Oh, I'd love to, Sven. Oh, this is in pretty good condition, Sven. Well, let's see. It says here, Mary and me and the boy arrived this morning to our new home of Norsetown. The hills in this place remind me of home. I wonder if we'll end up staying here or keep moving.
Order up.
Sorry, Sven. I can't spend much time looking at it right now. Here's your diary back.
Yeah, go ahead and keep it for now, Elise. Maybe you'll get a chance to look at it more this afternoon.
Okay, Sven. Enjoy your milk.
You better do as Elise says and drink your milk before it gets cold, Sven.
You know, my great-great-grandfather was one of the original settlers of this area, too. Adolf Benson.
Adolf Benson?
That's right. That's right, Marlo. He was the first elected sheriff in these parts. They say he brought law and order to Norristown.
Well, at least one of your relations was an accomplished lawman.
Very funny, Marlo. What about you, Gerda? Were the Henshaws original settlers?
I don't think so, Under Sheriff. But my great-great-grandmother, on my mother's side, was. Ruby Clark was her name. She was one of the upstanding members of Norristown back then. A community organizer and business owner.
Ruby Clark. Oh, she sounds interesting, Gerda.
Well, I've had enough of this. Some of us have to work for a living.
Can I catch a ride with you, Under Sheriff? I need to get to the courthouse.
Sure thing, Gerda. It's the least I could do for a fellow pioneer.
See you, Sven. Hope you get your book translated.
Better go get your beauty rest, Marlo. You know, you need it.
I think I might just do that. The warm milk must have done the trick, since as soon as I made it back to my apartment, I had an undeniable urge to lay down and rest. Once I closed my eyes, an amazing and detailed dream drew me in, like nothing I've ever experienced before. I didn't quite fall asleep, but got pulled deep into the dream. Images of my granddad, of Norristown, like I remembered it as a kid, flittered through my brain and escaped again. I fell into a very deep, very still sleep. Until I woke up to a shout. When I opened my eyes, I found myself standing in the middle of a dirt street. Wooden storefronts lined the dirt street on both sides like something out of an old Western movie. I stared, unbelieving, at the sight before me until the voice that brought me out of my slumber bellowed in my direction once again.
I'm talking to you, stranger.
What? Where am I? Who are you?
Who am I? I'm the sheriff in this town. And you are smack dab in the middle of my street. Now tell me who you are and what you're doing here.
The name's Marlowe. Sven Marlowe.
Marlowe, huh? Well, Mr. Sven Marlowe, I can already tell by taking a gander that I don't like the look of you. I suggest you mosey on out of town the same way you came in.
Now wait a minute, Sheriff. I don't think you understand.
Don't you start back-talking me, Marlowe. This is a rough town, and I do what needs to get done to keep it in line.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Marlowe.
Do you know this man, Ellie?
Why, sure, Sheriff. This is Mr. Sven Marlowe. He's a world-famous war veteran. Aren't you, Mr. Marlowe?
Why, sure, kid.
You was wounded at Shiloh, weren't you, Mr. Marlowe? But you lived and became a Pinkerton man. Sheriff, he guarded President Lincoln and President Grant. What was that like, Mr. Marlowe?
Well, you see...
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Mr. Marlowe. I put your horse in the stable, just like you asked.
My horse?
Why, sure, Mr. Marlowe, just like you asked. You should see her, Sheriff. A great, big, black horse. She's got to be the fastest horse I've ever laid my eyes on. You call her the judge. Ain't that right, Mr. Marlowe?
Sure thing, kid. The judge.
Okay, Ellie. Maybe you should run along now.
Yes, sir. Oh, you let me know if you need anything else, Mr. Marlowe, sir.
A Pinkerton man, you say?
You heard it from the kid, didn't you?
All right, Marlowe. Understand one thing. This town ain't too kind to strangers. If I was you, I'd get right back on that horse of yours and head out of town.
Don't worry, Sheriff. I'm just passing through.
I'm glad we understand each other. Well, good day to you, Marlowe. Oh, and welcome to Norristown.
Norristown? How did I end up here? And how did that kid know so much about me? And that sheriff demanding that I mind my own business? I had a lot of questions and no one to ask them to. I headed down the boardwalk on Main Street, marveling at the old-fashioned architecture and dirt-packed roads. I heard a noise coming from a promising-looking building with double swinging doors. A sign above the doors read, "Rubies," and the soft sound of piano coming from inside the two-story building told me that this was a place where people congregated, where I might get some answers. Inside the bar, a few patrons sat around some old wooden tables playing a game of cards. The piano man continued playing some kind of old-timey tune while I sat at the bar.
Howdy, stranger. What can a girl get for a strong, handsome fella like yourself?
Well, I guess that depends on what you've got.
We've got all kinds of choices here. Whiskey or beer?
I was hoping for something a little less strong.
Well, I do have a keg of root beer I just tapped.
Root beer? That sounds great. I think I'll take one of those.
You must be new in town. Did you come in on the stagecoach this morning?
No, I've got my own horse. I'm just passing through.
Here, give this a try, Mr.
Marlowe. Sven Marlowe.
All right, Mr. Sven Marlowe. First one's on the house.
Thanks, Ms.
You can call me Ruby, like the sign says. And don't thank me until you've tried the brew.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that was real root beer.
What'd you expect?
Nothing, Ms. Ruby. It's great. Say, you wouldn't happen to be Ruby Clark, would you?
Do we know each other, Mr. Marlowe?
No, but I think we may have someone in common.
And who would that be? Uh-oh. Here comes trouble. Stay sitting and keep quiet, Mr. Marlowe.
If you say so, Ruby.
There you are, Ruby. Have you come to your senses? Are you ready to take the money?
I told you, Mr. Hammer, I ain't gonna sell.
Now, Ruby, honey, let's not play this game. Neither one of us wants this to end up badly, do we now?
What are you trying to say, Mr. Hammer?
You know what I'm trying to say, Ruby. You can't stop a boulder from rolling down a hill. It will be so much better if you and your friends just take the money my company is offering you while the price is good.
And what will happen if we don't?
Ruby, Ruby, Ruby. It would be such a shame if anything were to happen to you or this lovely establishment now, wouldn't it?
All right, buddy, that's enough.
Sven, don't.
I don't believe I've met your friend, Ruby.
He's just passing through.
I'm the guy that's gonna throw you out.
Oh, really? Well, I'd love to see you try.
You got it. Take this.
What's the matter, my friend? There was some trouble keeping up.
Oh, at least I'm not picking on a lady.
A lady? Am I to believe you're referring to Miss Ruby here?
Why, you...
Now you've done it, sir. Prepare yourself to meet your maker.
Hammer, no! Put your gun away. I don't want no more killing in here.
That's enough, you two. Perry, put the gun away. Step back, Marlowe.
Mr. Marlowe didn't have nothing to do with this, Sheriff. He was protecting my honor.
Your honor, huh? I guess he's new in town, ain't he? I was having a pleasant conversation with Ms. Ruby, Sheriff. We were discussing business.
Sheriff, this man was out of line.
Remember when I told you to mind your own business, Marlowe? Do that now.
But Sheriff, Mr. Hammer was threatening me.
Now don't jump to conclusions, Ruby. Maybe you should listen to Perry. He's made you quite a kind offer, more than your land is worth.
I'll do no such thing. You may accompany Mr. Hammer out of my bar now, Sheriff.
I think you better listen to her, Sheriff.
Come on, Adolf. It's perfectly clear that she has no intention of changing her mind now. Perhaps at the meeting this afternoon, she'll be more agreeable.
Best if you think about what Perry's offered you, Miss Ruby. This town needs progress, and Mr. Hammer can provide it. Think about it, Ruby.
All right, show's over, folks. Let's hear some more music, Joe. Well, if that don't beat all.
Is it just me, or did you think the sheriff and this Mr. Hammer are a little too friendly?
Sheriff Benson doesn't take to calling people by their first names much.
What is going on, Ruby? What is this offer that Mr. Hammer referred to?
Look, Sven, you've already gotten yourself mixed up in this thing too deep. If I was you, I'd hightail it straight out of town.
I'm not doing that, Ruby. Not until you tell me what Mr. Hammer is after.
It's your funeral. It all started about a month ago. This Percival J. Hammer Esquire came into town and starts buddying up with Sheriff Benson. You notice they call each other by first name.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Well, Percival, or the Hammer, as some of the locals here call him, has been spending most of his days with the sheriff, riding through the countryside, looking at properties, trying to buy up land on either side of town.
Sounds like there's something up. Where did the Hammer come from?
I don't know. Somewhere out east, I suppose. The Hammer found that most of the land here was already bought up by us prospectors and pioneers who came here years ago. We come here when land was cheap, and we bought up a lot of it.
Let me guess. The Hammer wants to buy, but no one wants to sell.
That's right. So he's making an offer we can't refuse. More than twice what we paid for it. Sheriff says Norristown needs more streets, more investments, that the town needs to grow.
What are you gonna do, Ruby?
I don't know, Sven. Me and most of the other landowners don't want to sell, but we don't want Sheriff Benson on our backs for the rest of our lives either.
Boy, I sure know what that's like.
What'd you say, Sven?
I said I'm gonna take a walk, see what comes to me. Don't do anything until I get back, Ruby. I need to go see a man about a horse. I left Ruby's place with the taste of fresh-brewed root beer still in my mouth, and an idea buzzing around in the back of my mind. I needed to walk, to think. I found myself walking to the stable where Ellie had taken the judge. Inside the dark stable, it smelled like musty corn and dry hay. Several stalls were empty, but most were filled, and the animals watched me as I walked through. The stall at the far end held a large, sleek, black horse that I recognized immediately as the judge. She lifted her head as I approached and looked me in the eye. It wasn't just the beauty of the animal that took me by surprise, but her strength. The muscles under her sleek coat rippled as she moved closer. There you are, girl. So, you're the judge. Hey, you sure are friendly, aren't you? And strong. Feel those muscles.
Hello? Is there somebody back there?
Oh, hi, Ellie. It's me, Sven Marlowe.
Oh, Mr. Marlowe, are you leaving?
No, Ellie. I just needed to get a breath of fresh air.
Oh, it's that Mr. Hammer, ain't it?
What about him, Ellie?
Well, ain't no one in this town that likes him much. Except for Sheriff Benson, of course. He says that Hammer's going to save this town from drying up and blowing away.
Yeah, I don't trust him, Ellie.
Oh, you better watch out, Mr. Marlowe. The Hammer already killed one man in town. Sheriff says it was self-defense, he does, but nobody believes it.
Don't worry, Ellie. I can take care of myself. Thanks for the warning, though.
Marlowe! You in there?
Speak of the devil, Mr. Marlowe.
Hey, get on out of here, Ellie. This might get ugly. I'm here, Hammer. What do you want?
I just wanted to talk with you, Marlowe. See what I can do to change your mind. I'm not such a bad guy. I'd like to send you out of town with your pockets a little heavier and no one the wiser.
If you're trying to bribe me, Hammer, you may as well save your breath. I want nothing to do with you or your money. I trust you about as far as I can throw that donkey.
You know, I think I've had quite enough of your backtalk and inflammatory language, Marlowe. Let's settle this like men, using our fists.
Too bad I'm the only man in this stable.
Why, you rotten little man, I'll teach you to open your nasty mouth.
Call me a horse now, Marlowe. Calm that beast down, I say. I swear I'll shoot you and the horse right now unless you calm that demon down.
I don't think so, Hammer. Put your gun away now.
Ruby, what are you doing here?
I said put the gun away.
You better do as she says, Hammer. She looks angry.
Well, I never. Ruby, my dear. You're going to regret pulling a gun on me.
I think you ought to get out of here, Hammer, now.
All right, Ruby, I'm leaving. You haven't seen the last of me, Marlowe. You'll regret ever meeting me once I'm done with you.
Oh, don't worry, Hammer. I already have. It's okay, girl. He's gone. Thanks, Ruby.
Don't mention it, Sven. Ellie came told me that the Hammer had you cornered in the stable. I knew nothing good would come of it.
I owe you one.
After what happened back in the tavern, I think we're even. Walk with me a minute, Sven. This whole situation keeps getting worse and worse. Maybe it's best to sell, to make a little money now while I can. Maybe Sheriff Benson is right. We can't stop progress.
Where is your property, Ruby?
You can see it from here, Sven. You see that stand of ancient trees and the large boulders?
Sure, right on the other side of that field?
That's right, Sven. That's my property. Between the Petersons' farm over to the east and the Thorsons' place on the west.
Ruby, there's something familiar about those rocks.
Familiar?
Sure. If this is Main Street here, then your property is Pioneer Park.
Pioneer Park.
Right, and that makes the street crossing your property Railroad Avenue.
Railroad Avenue? What are you talking about, Sven?
Ruby, when is the meeting with the Hammer?
In about 30 minutes, Sven. He says he's going to make us an offer we can't refuse.
Don't let anyone sign anything till I get there. I need to get some information on the wire. As I left the stables, I gave Ellie some instructions, then found the telegraph station down the street where I sent a message to the Pinkerton office in Chicago. It took nearly 30 minutes to get a response, but when I did, it told me what I already suspected. Percival Hammer worked for the Cole Brothers Northern Railroad Company and planned to buy up as much land along the future railroad line as he could. I kept the transcribed telegram and headed to the town hall meeting. By the time I got there, the meeting had already started, so I snuck in the back and sat down.
What is this talking about? Now settle down, folks. Let's give Mr. Hammer a chance to speak.
Thank you, Sheriff. Folks, as I was trying to explain, the investment company I work for is in the business of helping small towns like yours grow. We plan to add more streets and build housing for new settlers, and we are offering a price more than fair, twice what the land is worth.
Psst. Now, psst. Mr. Marlowe.
Oh, hi, Ellie. Did you do what I asked?
Oh, sure did, Mr. Marlowe. The judge is right outside.
Thanks, Ellie.
Sure thing.
We are prepared to build a new school to educate your young people.
Thank you, Mr. Hammer. Now, folks, please raise your hand if you have any questions. Go ahead, Ruby.
Mr. Hammer, who is this investment company you work for?
Oh, that's an excellent question, Ms. Clark. Family Investments and Capital is made up of some rather wealthy Civil War veterans that just want to give back to small communities. Really, this is all for your own good. for the good of the town. And the offer I have made is more than twice what your land is worth.
He's right, Ruby. I signed the papers this morning. You can't fight progress.
That's right, Sheriff. Folks, I understand some of you have concerns, and that's okay. You don't have to sell, but this offer I'm making is for today only, right now. After this meeting, my company will only pay market value for the land. So, I ask you folks to think of your families, your children, and think of the town. Ah, yes, right this way. Folks, yes. Oh, yes, sign right here.
Not so fast, Hammer.
Pay no attention to him, folks. He's just some drifter trying to stir up trouble.
Some drifter with a little information you folks may want to know.
Hold on, Sheriff. I want to hear what Marlo has to say.
Oh, okay, Marlo. You've got the floor. What do you want to share with us?
Thank you, Sheriff, Ms. Clark. I just received this telegram from the Chicago Pinkerton office. Marlowe, stop. In response to your question regarding Parcival Hammer, stop. He works for Coal Brothers Northern Railroad, stop. Wanted for fraud in several states, stop. Arrest him on sight and hold for trial. Stop.
Let me see that. Mr. Hammer, is this true?
True enough, Sheriff.
He's got a gun!
Oh, let go of me!
Don't steal me, Ms. Clark, or I'll fill you with lead. Everyone get back or I'll shoot Ms. Clark.
No, don't do anything stupid, Mr. Hammer.
Anything stupid? My dear Sheriff, you in this ridiculous hick town are the stupid ones. You could have made a good amount of money for yourselves and made me rich in the process. Do you realize what you're up against? The Coal Brothers own this country just as they own the railroads. It's only a matter of time before their money buys the rest of the politicians in this no-good state. And then they'll just take the land they want. Come along now, dear. We're leaving.
I'm not going anywhere.
You better do as he says, Ruby. He's itching to pull that trigger.
Is it that clear, Marlowe? I may just blast you as I leave. For the fun of it. Open the door, my dear.
Me!
Now, Judge!
What? That's the devil horse! Get away!
And now, Sheriff, while he's distracted.
Thought you could fool my town? Take this!
Watch out, Sheriff! He's got a shield!
Oh, no, you don't! Take this!
Oh, dear!
Marlowe, I guess I owe you one.
Just take him out of here, Sheriff.
Come on, Hammer. Let's go.
Just keep that demon beast away from me.
Thanks, Sven. I was about ready to sign those papers if you hadn't stopped us.
Don't worry about it, Ruby. Just promise me one thing.
Anything, Sven.
Promise me that when the time comes and this town needs a park, you donate that rocky hill as Pioneer Park.
If you say so, Sven. Until you're better paid, this will have to do.
After Ruby's kiss, I wandered outside in a bit of a daze. Ellie had the judge calm down, and a crowd of people stood in a circle around her, admiring the beautiful horse. One young couple in particular seemed taken by the judge. Something about them was familiar, like I'd met them before, like I knew them from somewhere, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. She's quite a beauty, isn't she?
I'm sorry. I was just admiring her.
I call her the judge.
She's beautiful. I've never seen anything like her. Neither here or in the old country.
Are you new in town?
Oh, yes. My family just got to the area last week. We came to town today to get supplies and to have our picture taken. My name is Jan Marlowe. This is my wife, Mary, and our son, Torvald.
Torvald?
Yes, Torvald. And you are?
Oh, everyone just calls me Sven.
Well, it was great to meet you, Sven. I hope it works out for us here, and we meet again.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that, Mr. Marlowe.
What do you mean?
I have a feeling you're going to build that farmhouse and work that land and have a wonderful life here with many descendants. Something tells me you're going to do pretty well here. With that, I opened my eyes and found myself lying on the couch in my office, the late afternoon sun shining across the room. With a stretch and a yawn, I made my way downstairs to the Lefse Emporium for a cup of coffee and to shake the odd dream from my mind. In the cafe, I found the usual suspects at the usual table having their usual afternoon coffee.
Well, look who's awake. The local history detective. Learn anything new in your investigation, Marlowe?
Only that some things never change.
So, did you learn anything about your ancestors, Sven?
Well, not yet, Gerda. I was hoping Elise might have something for us.
Ah, well, here's a cup of coffee, Sven. You look like you can use it.
Thanks, Elise. Say, Elise, did you make any headway on the diary?
Oh, sure, Sven. Like you thought, it's the diary of a young couple when they first arrived in Norristown. On their first trip into town, they had a photo taken. I think it's the one you found in the box, Sven.
Great, Elise. Anything else?
Well, I haven't had enough time to really read much, but they met a strange man when they first got to town. He encouraged them to stick it out, to put roots down, and told them they'd have a long and happy life.
Is that it, Elise?
Just one more thing. He went by the name of Sven.
I finished my cup of coffee and thanked Elise. I decided I'd learned enough of what the book had to tell me and brought it back to my office, placing the box and all its contents back into the hiding place I'd found them in. You see, I trade in secrets. It's what I do. It's how I make my living. And if there's one thing I've learned over the years, it's that some things are best left undiscovered, and some secrets are best left untold.
You've been listening to the adventures of Sven Marlowe, small town detective in the case of the Pioneer's Dream. Today's show was produced in the studio of WDRT Viroqua, Wisconsin, 91.9 FM. The cast today included Steve Lorden as Sven Marlowe, Michelle Pedretti as Gerda Henshorn and Ruby, Carl Schlecht as Under Sheriff Benson, Sheriff Benson, and John Marlowe, Adam Fogelson as Percival J. Hammer, Esquire, and Kat Tigerman as Elise and Ellie, with live sound effects by Josh Peters and Rusty Drames as our audio engineer. Recorded music used in this production was by Kevin McLeod of Incomputech.com. The Case of the Pioneer's Dream was written by Leif Erickson and Josh Peters. Subscribe to the Old Hills podcast at oldhillsaudiotheater.podbean.com or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Stay tuned for the next adventure of Sven Marlowe, small town detective.